Hi, this is an ad.
For ourselves, our Patreon. Patreon.com/don'tletstartpodcast.
Please go to it.
And join the fun. And now, on to the episode.
Ready, Dave?
Wait, you do an A minor, I'll do a...
Hello!
Hey, everybody, this is...
That was a great start.
Don't Let's Start, a podcast about They Might Be Giants, and this is a really special episode, but before I get into that, how about an update? Dave?
Hey.
What's new with you?
I don't know, I had COVID.
Yeah, when you know, Dave always loves the trends, he's always doing what's trendy, what everyone's doing, so Dave got a virus.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. A little guy you might have heard of.
I'm not sure where I got it, but I suspect it's because I like to lick the floor of the New York City subway.
Yeah.
And I refuse to give that up because last time I checked, this was America.
Well, they do wash. It's funny because like every time I'm on the subway, like at night, they're washing the subway. But it never looks
as if.
I'm just like, are you?
Yeah.
You know. I mean, we used to do that in the 80s. That was the big thing. In the 70s, too, you know, it's a lot of, like, you know, taxi driver era. People are always licking the subway and kind of just, like, slapping each other and stuff, doing drugs.
Slapping.
Just, you know, old movies, people slap each other more, even people who like each other. You watch, like, an old rom-com from the 40s, and it's like, aw, how cute.
We should try that.
Yeah.
It was not pleasant.
Yeah, well, what was it like? Maybe this will help someone out who was wondering if they have COVID.
Well, my wife and I were vaccinated, so I'm sure that helped. So I'm sure if we weren't vaccinated, it would have been a lot worse. Chrissy lost her sense of taste and smell, so that was like a lot worse for her.
I mean, that's good news for her, though, living with you, you know.
Yeah, totally. It's what keeps our marriage strong. I basically had like a mild cold. So to the point
where I
have
that every day.
Yeah, I was like not even sure I had it, but I assumed just cohabitating with Chrissy that it was inevitable. And I was just really tired, which I also have all the time anyway.
Yeah. I think COVID might make me feel better, actually.
Yeah, it might be a step up.
Not as tired.
But I still kind of feel a little bit run down, and same with Chrissy.
Well, thank you for doing the hours of homework I required for this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, you know, I'm a kind of a, I'm a strict employer, you know, I'm just like.
I got vaccinated, so it's kind of like, I guess we could say that is fake.
Vaccines don't do anything. We've been saying this on the show every week for a while now.
I mean, I've been a staunch anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. We both have.
Consistently.
It's like a Queens thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been saying for a while, don't take vaccines. They're poisoned by the
will we get flagged if we have this? Like,
by the Jews.
Okay. Now we will.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. Yeah. I'm excited to be back.
We should clarify. It's thanks to the vaccine that Dave and
we should clarify. We tell jokes.
And jokes?
There's something called satire.
Yeah.
That we are a fan of.
Is that what we do? I think that's a little, that's a bit of a pretentious thing.
We're pretending to be people that
I'm not saying stupid jokes. I'm saying satire.
So anyway, people keep fighting the good fight. And if you're sick, get better. I wish you all well.
And keep watching.
Good night, everyone.
Keep watching the good fight. I think I was an extra on that show.
And keep looking to the skies. That's not the quote, is it?
Okay, so let's.
But I'm back and I'm excited to talk about book.
Book. Listen to this. Can you believe this? Listen to this.
Jesus. That was very loud in the microphone.
That's the goddamn book. This is the first time we've ever done this, so this is kind of like mind-blowing. They Might Be Giants have released a new album, and we have to do an episode about it, or else... Well, how could we call ourselves a They Might Be Giants podcast?
We don't gotta do anything, man.
If we don't talk about the new album in real time...
Yeah, we're fools.
Real time with Bill... Me and sorry,
close
anyway,
almost a joke.
Almost, and this is okay. So, I'm very excited. I'm sorry,
gather yourself.
I just want to explain what we're doing here because this might confuse
a podcast
morons out there. Just kidding, it might confuse gentle listeners. This isn't going to be the obsessive, research laden, stressed out Jordan. Normal episodes where we break every
bone
single second of every song down and every word because it's too new, and I like to do things in order. I mean, the next album we're going to do is John Henry, and and so and so.
That's a good album.
Let's talk about that instead.
Yeah.
This episode, no notes. No research. Actually, people were messaging me new interviews with John Flansburgh and John Linnell.
Oh, people message you?
About book. Yeah, yeah. I'm more approachable, I guess, than you are.
Yeah.
They were messaging me interviews, and I was actually, I made a decision to not listen to interviews because I want to kind of go in blind.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be like, oh, I like this song more because they said it's about this or that. I want to be like a pure experience of like, I'm just hearing the music, like sort of before we had access to all the, before we like had access to like millions of interviews about everything.
I looked up a couple things here and there.
Okay,
I
don't tell me.
We'll find
Unless
out.
Unless it's about me, don't tell me.
Just because some stuff was real confusing. So there was a couple head scratchers in there.
Yeah,
and actually,
for sure.
It did help. I'm glad I did. But in the interest of fairness, I'm going to tell you what I thought originally before I looked up stuff.
Yeah, because it might actually change my opinion. Just to go back to your COVID thing, I just thought like I had a weird week. About a week after you had like COVID for a week, a doctor put me on prednisone.
That's a no joke steroid, man.
Yeah. So here's the thing,
you should have done that.
This might actually be useful to people out there. The 5-6 days I was on prednisone, I was extremely depressed and anxious, and I didn't know it was the prednisone till like halfway through. I was in like the shittiest mood I've ever been in.
You didn't think it was just the state of your life?
Well, I did.
Okay.
So I was like,
that's probably what it was.
It's really weird. So it actually shows you how vulnerable
your
brain is
on planet Earth
to, you know, chemical shifts. And it actually made me have more empathy for like, you know, people with like clinical issues and stuff, which I may or may not have anyway, but I don't know. But
check, please.
But I was Dave, I could replace Dave with like a sound effects box and it would not make a difference in the show.
If you want that to happen, write us.
Yeah. Yeah, be easier.
Petition
for Dave.
Petition us. I'll leave. I'll show myself.
No, so I just spent a week basically being like, I don't care about my music.
Should have called me.
I don't care about my friends. I don't care about the podcast. I don't care about my life.
Yeah,
I was kind of just like, what am I doing? Where am I going? And
it's the human condition.
And I was just like really, really upset and like, not upset, but also like I had this dread, like this fear.
I have that all the time.
And then it just like, I found out that it was the prednisone because if you Google prednisone depression, it's like the most common side effect. And I was like, holy shit. And that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a TMBG-ish discussion.
It's reminding me of hopeless, bleak despair.
That's right. That's what I was feeling.
And one day it disappeared.
Exactly. Maybe that's what that song's about, prednisone. Yeah. Okay, so no notes, no research, just pure, unfiltered, uncensored, hot opinions.
Hot breath.
From me and Dave. And I've been really, really excited about this because, as everyone can tell, the show is it's a lot of moving parts to put together. But I've been for so long wanting just like, can't we just like press record and just fucking talk without a million?
That's what I always say.
Without a million tabs open and all these notes and notes and stuff. But
you made that choice yourself.
I know. Well, it kind of like happened gradually. It's weird. You can sort of trace it if you listen to the episode.
I think we should be more cavalier.
Well, I'm planning more episodes like this where we can just talk.
You can't plan it. Then it's not cavalier.
Casually about a subject. But anyway, we are going to do the full book breakdown, but at the rate we're going, that'll be like, I think everyone on the planet will be like dead by then.
I hope so.
But
that's my wish for all of you.
Yeah, it's weird how long term this.
I hope you're all dead.
Like if me and Dave hadn't had a friendship that's already lasted like over 20 years, I wouldn't assume that this could be such a long term project. But I feel like it's fine. It's fine to make those plans.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah, Dave will just do. Yeah. You just kind of push Dave in a direction, and he goes in it.
Wind me up and watch me go.
Yeah. So okay, besides notes, I did type down just a few questions, a few little things to bring up with Dave. But let's start with the book itself. So me and Dave are in the fan club, you know, which they offered us exclusively because of our podcast.
Yeah.
They paid for it themselves.
They were like, we'll give you $8 off.
Yeah. We're in the fan club and we both got sent the album a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this package? Because I never get anything.
That's yeah.
I was suspicious.
Yeah, maybe it was like a cake or a bomb or a diploma.
Cake bomb.
It's kind of a diploma sized.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, you heard it before.
It's too much book.
It's a big book. My first impression, and I'm going to say this is going to be an uncensored episode because I don't want us to, my first thought was like, should we make an episode that's kind of like a celebration, a fluff piece about book? Mm-hmm. We're celebrating a new album, but I really want it to be our honest opinions and thoughts, and because we're just people, we're fans. Mm. And we
people, you say.
So anyway, my first thought was like, what the hell am I going to do with this thing? Space is an issue in New York City and in a small apartment. And
that is a thought I had as well. I actually
threw it out.
Yeah, I threw it out the fucking window. I have nowhere to put it. My shelves are stocked to the gills.
What's kind of vinyl size? Do you have vinyls on a shelf? Because I was thinking maybe I could put it with my vinyls.
That's kind of
a little too big for that.
Yeah. Well, that's full now too, but it's kind of been in that area of the house now. Yeah, even Chrissy was like, what the hell are we going to do with this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's very cool. It's very well designed. It's an art piece.
So I suspect,
I like it.
I think this showed up during my prednisone week because I was in a really negative mood.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want this. And hear me out. It's going to have a happy ending. I was flipping through it and I was like, photos, whatever. Like I couldn't be less on board. You know, I got the CD and we listened to the album in the car and some stuff stuck out, some stuff I was not that into. And I was kind of like,
yeah, I had the same. Yeah.
But so today I listened to the album and I flipped through the book while listening and I found I found it to be a fairly immersive visual audio experience. So the book is full of like all these, it's full of two things. All these photographs that I have to say remind me a lot of the photographs I've taken over the years. Because I spent the past few months scanning a bunch of old photos, as Dave knows, because he saw me with these big photo albums and stuff. And
down the street.
Yeah, that's right. I was showing everyone.
In a rush. Photo albums.
And I was just like, some of these are so similar to like stuff that I've taken of like weird shit in New York City.
Well, what came first?
New York City streets.
You think
streets,
you were influenced by that aesthetic of TMBG?
Possibly, or I've always...
Or do you all come from the same ether?
I have a theory that my main influence is Kids in the Hall. Hear me out, because... I had this revelation a few weeks ago, because all of my short films at film school were people said they were Lynchian, like David Lynch's films, and I never had seen a David Lynch movie. So for a while, I was like, oh, how cool am I? I'm like, I'm basically on the same conscious wavelength as David Lynch. We're both in the same astral plane kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about.
And I dig.
Then it occurred to me kind of stupidly, but I was like, the biggest thing that I loved as a kid and into my teens was Kids in the Hall, and Bruce McCullough's short films were all David Lynch inspired. That's like my biggest influence. And I think that kind of, I had its parallel thing with
it's
David
Lynch.
It's
all once removed. And
yeah, so my visual style is I like, if I have one, not in a fashion sense, but in a photography sense.
Certainly not.
A lot of these reminded me of some stuff that I was just looking at this week that I was scanning and posting photos of and weird. Like I have one thing where me and our friend Daniel, we basically went out with, we got like weird sunglasses and a funny hat and like went out and took
photos. You guys are wild.
Yeah, we're crazy. And we did some coke and we just took photos at like weird areas in Queens, like weird things that we spotted, like a giant weird pipe on a wall that looks like Brazil or, you know, the movie or stuff like that. And I'm just like, yeah, a lot of these photos remind me of that kind of thing.
So why did that incense you so?
Oh, no. That didn't incense me, but I remember just thinking like,
you could have done this. How dare you?
Dave knows me too well. He knows how my brain works. I think that'll battle. I'm like, if people really knew how like narcissistic and arrogant
they
I
know.
Am.
They know. Trust me.
But anyway, I ended up really liking the book because it does match my aesthetic and what I like a lot. You know what else it reminded me of, to give a shout out? Some of these photos reminded me a lot of our friend John's Instagram, which is a great Instagram. Sure. Check it out. It's called Discarded Things. And he takes photos of
garbage,
funny garbage that is almost, it's almost completely limited to like the couple block radius that we live in where
it tells a story.
He works near here and he lives near us. So his Instagram is really funny because he just finds the weirdest shit being thrown away. Yeah. And a lot of the photos in this book remind me of that. There's a photo of like weird legs from like a doll that's in a plastic bag. It looks like a dead body. okay, so here's a giant photo of a guy wearing a skull mask in a car. And I literally just this weekend took a photo of a guy on a tractor wearing a scary mask at a farm that me and my girlfriend, fiance, I mean. Whoa. That's news, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Fiance.
Congratulations.
We got engaged. Well, Dave's already congratulating me in person.
I'm over it.
Yeah, we are too.
COVID brain.
But anyway, I still call her my girlfriend because I don't know. It's cuter.
A fiance is such a
stupid It's a hard word to say. It's weird.
It's hard. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's worthless.
So the book is made up of these photos, and a lot of them are very intriguing, and I like they have an old school. I wonder if they were actually a film camera. Mm. They seem like they are, but I've been fooled before. One thing I've liked about scanning my photos is like these are film. Like these were developed, and they look so much cooler than digital photos, even though digital photos can look really cool too. But they're also, it's like photos of typewritten. So if you look, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's like high-res scans.
Yeah,
of,
it's a piece of paper.
Typewriter paper.
Exactly. So these are all like hand-typed lyrics from book and the last few albums.
Very The Shining style.
That's right. They are. They look like Jack Torrance went insane and typed. Some of them are really creative.
Well, they're
and
designed,
cool.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, they're designed.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And some of them really fit. There was one for I Broke My Own Rule that totally captures the stuttering, weird feel of that song, you know? But some of them, I wonder, like, was he listening to the song and figuring it out? Or was it instinctual? Did he not have his conscious brain going? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I know.
And I really also, not to keep tying things to myself, but by now you should be used to it.
I know I am.
I'm really into real fonts that aren't made by a computer. As Dave knows, Dave helped me make our album cover a few years ago when I put out my first album. And the way that we did that is Dave helped me make the font, but then I went to like a Staples and printed it out and then crumpled it up in my hand and then smoothed it out. So it had this texture, like kind of a frustrated texture, and then took, you know, scan those.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that as well. I do a lot of hand lettering.
Yeah.
Myself,
so exactly. So, yeah. Cause in your comics and stuff that you draw.
And the next album and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm really.
Dinner Friday logo is done by hand.
Exactly.
I did it too well though. And people thought it was a font.
Yeah. That's like that's like when you said you sang too well and people thought it was auto-tuning on your album, which I did too. Which is a compliment.
Humble brag.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm really into the aesthetic of you're seeing real ink on paper, real typewritten words. And I do the same thing for my thing. I have an idea for my second album that's going to be kind of a play on that
blow
too.
Blow everyone away.
It's going to be amazing. Oh, and another thing I released, I did handmade font, but we'll talk about that later maybe. So Dave, what was your experience getting when you started to look more at the book, if you in fact did look at the book more?
Yeah.
I know you're busy.
So busy.
Are there any things that stick out in it? You can flip through it right now. It's on the desk. It barely fits on my desk here.
I just thought it was really cool. I want to do more of a deep dive into it. Mm-hmm. I really just kind of thumbed through it while I was listening to the new album. It's also new and it's so much. I have to take more time.
Yeah, it's funny because on the Prednisone week, I was just like, why do they do this?
How dare they?
Now that I'm feeling more like positive about everything, I'm just like, this is so, I love that this band that I love does, you know, they don't just want to put out an album and it's like the same old thing. It's like,
they're always doing something new and something ambitious.
Yeah, there's always something to it. And it is interesting, even though I don't have notes, I did write in my notes that I don't have, I like fun too. Because a lot of the songs remind me of the vibe of I Like Fun. And the fact the cover of I Like Fun is these typewritten thing. You know, it has the same aesthetic too. So I sort of see those two albums as being like of a pair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lovers.
There are certain sounds that are used again. Mm-hmm. Certain production techniques. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I really like the photo of the skeletons climbing. A lot of these photos you notice were taken on October because there's a lot of Halloween decorations. Mm. There's skeletons climbing a building. There's a big ass snake. There's like some photos of random hipsters in Brooklyn or whatever, which don't do much for me because you see that every day walking outside. Yeah. I wonder if people we bring this up in the past, but like, I wonder if people not from New York City, how they take in some of this.
I think they're more impressed.
Yeah. Like, whoa.
Look, it's lyrics that look like a horse.
Oh, my
unicorn.
God. I, like, totally didn't catch that. Yeah, it's dog, Dave.
Oh, it's dog. So, I thought the ear was a unicorn horn.
Dave's
I'm not the brightest banana
Dave's
in the bunch.
Such a magical person. He's just a mad. Yeah, the lyrics for the I guess you'd call it a B-side or whatever.
How do you do that?
Was typed as a dog in the shape of a dog. See, that's one that's very on the nose.
I don't get it.
What are they saying? Well, that's something else we could talk about. Just like, is this about anything? Does it mean anything? Or is it just the, like I said, is it about the immersive experience of just taking you into a new world? I mean, I kind of see this as very reminiscent of their whole thing where you're just kind of, there's an album aesthetic that just kind of takes over everything for like the space stuff for Apollo 18, just like space and all the things we do.
I feel like they kind of want people to slow down a little bit. And really absorb the art and the music.
Yeah.
Because
experience it as a work, not as like MP3s on iTunes.
Right. You know, I used to buy an album and just sit back and maybe smoke a doob.
And smoke a fancy cigar in your red lounge by the fireplace.
Yeah.
Turn on the, what was that radio report that the president used to do? The good news report or whatever. I've failed history class.
But
Eisenhower, do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
No research this episode, people. That means for everything.
That means we forgot history also. But it used to be more of an experience. And we've talked before in this podcast about how maybe that experience of absorbing an album is gone away a little bit.
It's funny. It's not
so
just...
So maybe they're trying to get it back. Maybe.
Yeah. It's not just that it's gone. Because I think about this sort of all the time. It's also the fact that a lot of my favorite albums, they came out when I was in like junior high school or high school, and I would carry them with me.
Yeah.
And I would look at...
In your heart.
I would look at the liner notes at my desk in class. Now when you're an adult, you're just not really having those kinds of experiences. It's more just like you're busy and, I'll put on this album while I'm on the subway on the way to work. So let's talk about the friggin' songs and the music.
Yeah, talk about some of that music.
I guess there's so much, like, where to start even. I don't want to go in order. I just want it to be more freeform. No notes, no research.
You've mentioned that once or five times.
No shame.
Well, what do you think of the album, Jordan? Do you like it?
I'll say this.
Overall, how's it hitting you?
It grew on me a lot. It's gross. It's offensive. Yeah. Hashtag cancel TMBG.
Yeah. It is a grower.
It's growing on me, and it grew on me a lot even today. And that might be the enthusiasm of recording with my buddy Dave.
Hey.
But
that's me.
So like the first listen was in the car. Me and Kristen went on a little trip. And I put it on the car on the way there and on the way back. It was like a 2-hour ride. And in the car, I was kind of like, I mean, the first time you listen to a new album by your favorite band is a weird experience.
It's scary.
It's scary because
you're like, what if I don't like it?
Yeah. You're like, please let this be good.
Be good. Yeah.
Please don't embarrass me for being a fan. So the first few listens in the car, I was kind of like,
I think you're listening to music wrong. It's supposed to be fun. Yeah. So much pressure, Jesus.
I know. Well, when there's ever since the pod, well, that was the weird thing with having this podcast. I was like, can I just listen to this for fun?
You know, I have to say,
did I ruin it? I ruined it for you, didn't I?
I basically listening to this album as homework, as work for the podcast. And I hope that didn't somehow put a pall on the whole experience either.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, we're here. This is where we are. So if it's ruined, it's ruined.
Yeah, that's
no
definitely
turning back now.
That's sort of how I feel too. Sometimes you just have to sacrifice things for
everything.
For everything.
Nothing can be for fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of taking the long way around to say my first few listens I was not that into it actually. Some songs jumped out. I was like,
well, you can just see yourself out. I think we had very similar experiences listening.
Yeah, well, you started to text me your opinion and I said, "Stop. I don't want to know." Which to some might seem crazy, but I really do want the podcast to be authentic.
I said something very general as,
like
it wasn't hitting me yet or something like that.
Yes, and the hitting me, it didn't hit me either.
It's hitting me way more now, I'll say that.
I'll ask you first, what in the first listen, first or second listen, because the first listen is just, it's like so much to absorb at once, especially whether they might be Giants album, where all the songs are kind of their own universe. What jumped out in a positive way on the first listen for you?
I love the opener.
Yes.
I think that...
I agree.
Yeah, that started off the album on a high note for me.
I smile. I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Crazy town.
Brontosaurus stuck out to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
Wow, we're so similar. This is boring.
Yeah, it is.
It's boring shit.
Though I was confused about the title. The title seemed
more
ideas. Like a science song. The other thing was they released a third of the album before it came out.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask, did you listen to all that stuff? Because I avoided, for the most
part, I avoided it. Well, we talked about I Lost Thursday.
That's right.
And I listened to Can't Remember the Dream because I liked it a lot.
I watched the YouTube video one time and then never heard the song again.
Broke My Own Rule.
Broke My Own Rule I heard twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I listened to Super Cool and I loved it so much.
Oh my God.
I was like, I don't want to listen to it again because I want to
was going to offend you with how much I liked Super Cool. I thought you were going to be like, what?
No, that song is great.
Yeah. I agree. Well, you'll see in my rank, I ranked all the songs.
It's the definition of
how you get clicks these days. You got to put things in a list.
Great catchy tune.
That answers my question pretty much. You're just gonna name every song.
No. I liked Quit the Circus a lot. That stood out to me actually when I heard it. And Less Than One, the last song. I thought
that's a pretty successful first listen.
And not to say I wasn't enjoying anything else, but it wasn't jumping out. And some of it was hard to remember. Like, there weren't as many earworms, maybe. And the more I listened
it
head.
That's like, what I thought at first. Yeah. And then I was very wrong because...
It's a real slow burn. Like, it's very infectious.
I had a few nights ago where I couldn't fall asleep. And I had fucking a few songs that wouldn't stop being in my head. And I was actually getting angry. Like, Drown the Clown was in my head when I couldn't fall asleep. And I was like, God, fuck you, John Linnell. Because Drown the Clown, I'd almost say, is infectious in a bad way. It's like too sing-songy melody where it's like the reason people don't like them.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, come on. It's too catchy. Yeah, that's really interesting.
What about you, friend? Yeah.
The ones that jumped out on that first, I remember driving. Yeah. I remember Brontosaurus coming on and me going like,
here we go.
Oh, this is a strong song. This is like, there's a lot of like emotion under this song. Yeah.
A good Linnell number four. That's what I call him.
That's my favorite perfume.
Yeah.
you smell like coffee. And I remember Brontosaurus and a few lyrics jumped out at me too, where I was like, oh shit, Linnell's super depressed on this album again.
That was the other
Fun. And then I was thinking a lot, I'm going to be jumping around a lot here. I'm sorry. The reason I thought of this is like, I Like Fun too, is like before I Like Fun, they hadn't been doing the sad lyrics thing too much. Cause I was like thinking of like, Join Us and Glean and Nanobots. Like those are songs that are kind of about a wide range of weird ideas that are kind of funny. Call You Mom and, you know, a bunch of kind of funny, weird ideas. But then most of the songs on I Like Fun and this are like, I'm anxious about just the general existential problems
especially in life.
Especially Linnell. But Flansburgh has a lot of band-related anxieties on this album that I thought was interesting. That, again, I haven't even read the lyrics to the songs. A quick perusal, but I haven't like thought about them because I really want to save that for the big episodes about it. So in terms of jumping out, Brontosaurus jumped out because I note a few lyrics jumped out where I went, oh shit, that's like really upsetting.
About being an artist and failing and stuff?
Yeah, and the way I see the Brontosaurus thing is like when Rheostatics have a song where they mention that they call themselves dinosaurs in the rock world, like they're old guys now and the world has moved past them. And I'm pretty sure that's what Linnell's going for with Brontosaurus. And he uses the Brontosaurus metaphor in such like, in so many ways that I like stick my neck out and all stuff that are at first listen might sound cutesy, but then when you actually think about the lyrics, they're like really sad. Another song that jumped out in, this was surprised me on the drive up to where we were going. I Lost Thursday really hit me because I was like, it's the one I know the most.
Yeah.
I had listened to it maybe five times before that. And by itself, I didn't like love it, but I was like, oh, this is cool. It's cool, like weird, you know, like concoction that Flansburgh made. Mm-hmm. And it does say in the liner notes that it's the only one produced by They Might Be Giants. So that to me, like, whereas the others are produced by Pat Dillett. So I Lost Thursday to me really is like him and Linnell sending files back and forth. So I remember having that vibe and being like, that's cool. But I'm like, I hope other songs in the album are better than this. That was my, you know, honest opinion. But then when I was driving and still to this day listening to the album, it jumps out both from me being familiar with it, but I kind of think of it as a breath of fresh air on the album because it's really different than everything else.
That's true.
And I find it to have a kind of like a fun energy to it. And it's, I don't know, on the drive, I was like, oh, this song is like really working for me
now. Well, I was going to say a lot of the album is mid-tempo.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's hitting you over the head, but then the more you listen to it.
Yeah, except track one, which is the...
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that when you mentioned track one, like...
Track one's great.
Linnell's doing a funny voice.
Yeah.
And I say funny to just mean not normal that you hear in like a pop song. He's doing a funny voice and the music's weird because it's like...
It's a march.
Yeah, it's kind of got a march. I remember thinking, is this whole album going to be totally crazy? And then the rest of the album's... A lot of it, especially in the L's, are fairly just solid rock songs.
Yeah, there's nothing...
Almost like a John Henry-ish thing.
Right. There's nothing outside of the box too far.
Yeah. Which surprised me for They Might Be Giants. But
I was expecting more left turns.
Mm-hmm. So Synopsis for Latecomers, track one, is kind of like a... It's kind of out of the ordinary for this album, and it makes me like it more because I like that it's kind of this weird nightmarish like character singing the song and stuff, and it's like this nightmare world he's describing. I think the first lyric that stood out on my first listen was "Who ate the babies?"
That's a great lyric.
I'm sure that stood out to you too, because that's one that's hard. It's hard to ignore.
I guess, right?
That's right. The vaccines killed all the babies, people.
You say nightmare world, but it's the real world.
It's the real world. Well, I think that's like sort of the joke of the song, I think. But no research, so I don't even know. So that stood out to me. And that's sort of it on the first listen. Like two or three songs kind of popped out. Mm. On the drive back home, on the second listen, the last few tracks stood out to me. Because, you know, I like the whole album passed by and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then... I don't know, sometimes when you're like driving, you have different moods or like wherever you are, like I'm on the highway at night and that's when, you know, Quit the Circus jumped out at me and I went, oh,
you
this
like
is
that
really,
one?
I'm not going to say anything.
What are you saving it for? Isn't this the podcast?
Well, I'm going to go very specific about which songs I liked more than which songs.
Oh, okay.
Like I'll say like the last like four tracks kind of.
Yeah.
Was this cool driving experience where I'm like, this is a really chill. I like how the album
the last third
winds down
flows really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the last track is a really strong. I mean, it's kind of reminding me of Last Wave. It's got that intensity to it. And I also the weird thing about this, the Linnell songs on this album, almost all of them have a weird pounding to them. They're all like bum bum. They're all this, like you said, they're all mid tempo, smashy, you know, like. Like rock smashy stuff, and almost as is typical, like all the Flansburgh ones are genre exercises where he's kind of trying something new. And I mean, it amazes me he still finds genres that he hasn't done yet.
Even saying that, though, they're all still very much in the same family, I would say.
Oh yeah, the production in general has. All the vocals have a certain quality to them. Here's where we get controversial, Dave.
Okay.
What jumped out as Davey no like on the first or second?
I found Moonbeam Rays kind of hard to get into.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to be ambiguous with that.
Moonbeam Rays, I think, took longer to get into.
That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. People. Okay. Yeah, Darling, Can the Dose. See? I was kind of lukewarm to. But again, the more I listen to it, I think it's deceptive because how to describe it? Like sometimes on first listen, you may not think there's a lot to certain songs.
Or the non-exciting rock songs are like, oh, this is like...
But then the more you listen to it, you're like, oh, this is really well constructed and thought out. And there's a lot more to this than I initially thought.
Yes. We had the exact same experience. It's kind of strange.
I didn't like If Day for Winnipeg at first. Mm-hmm. And now I like it a lot. And it's really weird how that totally turned around.
Yeah.
Particularly the chorus. I was like, what is happening with this chorus? There's a lot of words.
That's so crazy. I had this, wow, we have the same exact thing. I remember thinking,
The verses.
I was in the car on like the second listen and being like, he's just cramming all these words into a small amount of space. That's kind of like
this
rookie move for a songwriter to be
but then
like,
I was like,
I can't squeeze all these words in the space.
But now I'm like, oh, this is great.
He knows what he's
doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, it's funny. One of our friends and fans emailed me being like, about this song, mm-hmm. mentioning like, oh, I just read about what If Day is. And I was like, don't tell, like, I didn't look at the email anymore.
I know what it is now.
Okay, because I don't. So I'm sure it's disturbing or something.
Yep.
But I'm not going to talk about that,
yeah.
because when we get to that, I'm going to do all this research and, you know, probably watch a bunch of documentaries and stuff. But
about Winnipeg.
I mean, look, if I can do it for Cabbage Town, I'll do it for... So, yeah, I had the same exact experience where a lot of these strange little flansies, as I've been calling them since episode two, I actually thought he was weighing down the album a bit, because it was like, oh, all these Linnell songs are so strong and solid, and then these Flansburgh ones are weird exercises. But the more I listen, and it's funny, you kind of go through this every time there's a new They Might Be Giants album. I was just kind of like, without these, this would just be such a normal album.
Sure.
And it's not that Linnell doesn't have weird ideas, but he still seems to prefer to express them in the rock, you know, mode.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Flansburgh always is great at giving like variety of sound to a They Might Be Giants album and making it more unpredictable, sometimes super crazy unpredictable, like all the weird little nanobot things. And, you know, I appreciate it more. And so I think first I was like, well, I was like, well, it's cool that he's doing these non-rock songs, but they're not jumping out at me. But mm-hmm. with my listens today, they started to,
yeah,
they started to like dig deeper, you know? And also, this is nothing to say about the lyrics. I think the lyrics of all of them are pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think I like the lyrics.
Yeah.
Although, I will say Linnell's definitely going through something.
Yeah. Well, so I Like Fun reflected the post-election of 2016, and this reflects the pandemic.
It's definitely a pandemic album.
And what I really respect about them is that it's not on the nose.
Yeah.
There's a few words here and there where you're like, because there's a part where he talks about like an antidote, you know, or in a song, you know, and it's just like,
he's, in Darling the Dose.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, there's a few lyrics where it's like, oh, this is about the pandemic, but it's all more about the feeling of being in it. Just like I Like Fun was about the feeling of feeling like the floor's dropped out from under you.
Yeah.
So I really respect that they don't, you know, they don't want to hit things on the nose. And just like, even with the book, it could have been all about the pandemic or some statement, political statement. And they're not interested in that. They want something to be ambiguous and give feeling instead of, you know, lecturing or,
right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're still the same band all these years that has these qualities I love, which is it's all about art and strange feelings and stuff without it being too, you know, hit you over the head. Even though some lyrics are very, very direct. Like I think If Day for Winnipeg has, or maybe it's Quit the Circus. I mean, a lot of these Flansburgh songs have lyrics that seem to just directly be about being in a band and you can't express yourself because there's no audience and, you know.
Yeah. I think they generally put the craft first still, is what we're getting at.
I'll say for me, a negative jumping out on first listen was absolutely track two, Moonbeam Rays.
Oh, thank God. I didn't want to disagree with you, Jordan.
I still sort of see it as like a pretty big come down from track one.
Yeah.
I find the track order a little odd, and I find that song a little odd as just, it seems like it needs more, like, I know this sounds mean. This is just our opinions, people. You can have your own opinion. I will say it's growing on me a little, like, tiny bit. Like, it's sort of the, you know, one of those that's kind of dragging behind the others for me. But it feels very, like, especially the melody, like, just very, like, standard.
Yeah.
And there's some, even like the first verse, it's just, there's nothing too like imaginative in it. It's just kind of like, oh,
well, even the beat takes a long time to kick in.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah. I'm not sure what, I mean, he must really like it if it's a track two and
track two.
They both
That's
must.
Prime real estate.
But for me, it wasn't quite, I was just like, this is a weird track two for They Might Be Giants album. It's very, it might still grow on me. I don't know, but I don't know. I have concerns about this song. I like the Moonbeam Rays is an interesting, maybe that's because I thought when I saw the title, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like a really like visual, interesting, like psychedelic thing. And it like, it seems just about a guy breaking up with someone and driving away or whatever. Though there's a line about cicadas that I like because we don't talk about cicadas enough. People, where did they all go? There used to be more. You know how you used to see dead cicadas on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
I don't see them. Where are they going?
I'm sorry.
Where are they going?
I apologize.
Maybe like cats eat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other songs that weren't doing it for you?
Yeah, honestly, Lord Snowden, after Brontosaurus, on the I'm talking about my first two listens. Brontosaurus, I'm like, this is like a high quality song of theirs. I was like, this one's gonna go down in history in a good way. Then Lord Snowden comes on, and I was just kind of like, I am not enjoying this very much. It's grown on me.
I think that's another one that grows on you. I like that song a lot.
Yeah, actually. the Doors-ish vibe, you know, the keyboard, the cool vibe. And it's the one weird thing about this is like Flansburgh's vocals have this kind of demo feel to them. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but they feel very casual and kind of like in that song especially. Like, I'm on the outside looking. Right. Like, it sounds like he's just kind of almost doing a dial-a song. Whereas the Linnell vocals, and this, like, pains me to say, I might be crazy, but I hear, like, a lot of auto-tune. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's possible. I'm really not sure.
Well, so here's the thing, and I'll admit that, like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, modern compression just sounds like auto-tune because it's, like, really... smashing the vocal down. I don't know if people know what we're talking about. Obviously, some
that's
do.
Their problem.
Well, so compression, for example, is on me and Dave's voices so that if I yell or if I talk quietly, it's basically all the same volume. You don't have to crank up.
Is that what compression is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you don't have to crank up or down the podcast that we're listening to. Like if I go, hey, Dave, blah, 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 blah,
blah. Don't do that.
Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I noticed on Brontosaurus especially that the vocals sound a little inhuman to me. I'm particularly.
What are you implying?
I'm particularly sensitive to the sound of autotune because I truly dislike it. I know they've said they use autotune on like a few past albums. It seems like in the past it was done way more subtly because it did not jump out at all. In this case, it sounds very obvious, and it does bother me, and it hurts the song a little for me because I really love Brontosaurus, actually. I really think it's great.
I'll say I don't notice it, but...
There's parts where he's holding out a note where it's like, like, it feels so like flattened, like an unnatural.
There's
no vibrato. And I don't think he needs it. We've seen him live not too long ago.
Yeah, his voice is as strong as ever.
Yeah, it's... And it's also like, even if it's not, like, it's his voice. Like, fans want his voice.
Who
they don't want,
hoot,
like...
You know?
But I mean, at the same time... They My Vaginas have never claimed to be these naturalistic, you know, musicians who everything you're hearing is so authentic and real. Everything's fake on a lot of their albums, and they're happy about that. So it's not like I see autotune as some sort of betrayal of their sensibilities exactly, but I just personally find autotune to be like an unpleasant, distracting thing in a song. But I also could be wrong. It might just be compression or something. Like, I don't know.
I heard it more as compression, but...
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
You're probably wrong.
I know it's not a contest, but is this Linnell's album, Flansburgh's album?
Oh.
I know, tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because there are albums where things that can be very clear.
I don't know. There's a lot of Flans songs.
Dave's sweating.
Yeah, that really are getting in my head a lot more than the Linnell songs.
Yes.
Which is not to say that the Linnell songs aren't great, but maybe it's like what we said before. They're so... straightforward, great.
They're so in your face catchy that you start to long for something more subtle, right? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, maybe this is a cop-out, but it is about the same, I would
say. Yeah, sure.
Maybe Flansburgh edges it out slightly
for
me, just because I love Super Cool.
I bet you thought you'd never say that sentence.
Yeah. I like Lord Snowden a lot.
That surprises me. I thought you were going to be shitting on that.
I really like Quit the Circus.
Mm-hmm.
I feel maybe he didn't do as many.
Yeah, it seems like a Linnell-heavy album in general. But we're also going to talk about Pamphlet, which is four more tracks. And that's
now, if you include Helicopter of Elves, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I like that song.
Really? Okay. Well, we're going to talk
that
about Pamphlet shortly after the main discussion. But
Helicopter of Elves
two
rules.
More. I was
that'd be a great number two.
The first like I was gonna say when we get to that, I do think that should be number two instead of Moonbeam Rays. I think they should switch. But here's the thing. I was very ready to be like, oh, this is so Linnell's album here. But as like sort of like you said, it's starting to change in my head. It's getting a little more like, oh, Flansburgh is doing some interesting like all of the songs have really interesting ideas.
Yeah.
They're not as like, except for Moonbeam Ray's, they're not these like expected things that you'd expect from him. And I admire that a lot, you know. What's the next topic? Biggest surprise. What, Dave? What was the biggest surprise of the album?
That this I could got be COVID.
Yeah, especially because you don't like leave your apartment.
It's very frustrating.
Dave's like, especially compared to many other people, Dave's a homebody.
I masked up, I vaccinated.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say I masturbated.
I did that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, biggest surprise on listening.
Biggest
where you were
surprise.
Like, what?
I think,
I'm aware that's like a vague question.
You know, again, maybe this is a cop out. I don't think there were many surprises on this album. It's a pretty straightforward album.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, me and Kristen talked about this too. Like,
do I know Kristen? Yeah.
They're always using Pat Dillett. They're always using the same recording studio. I wouldn't mind them going outside the box a little. And while sometimes that can lead to tricky results, you know, there's certain things on Mink Car or The Else that are like very different and maybe controversial among fans, at least for me. I do think like the albums are all starting to blend together a bit. And maybe it's just because this really still reminds me of I Like Fun. But it's like, I wouldn't mind a different sound. I think a lot of this album, though, was made at home, they said, during the pandemic, and then kind of transported to the studio, which I think they do a lot anyway lately, because their home studio is such good quality that they can just do that.
I mean, they did it with Apollo 18. We know that.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's been happening for a long time.
That's
probably
a good point. Yeah, it's
shout out to Edward Douglas.
Yeah, it does have that same, like the vocals have a certain sound that they've kind of had the same sound for a while. I don't know if that's a criticism exactly.
They got it too down.
Yeah, maybe. Because they're kind of at a strange place where they control everything. There's no record company being like, work with this producer. They're great. And
no offense, the band.
No offense taken, Dave.
They had Fat Mike, the singer, he had a similar complaint that punk got too well produced and too polished.
They all sound like each other.
And everything
other,
sounds amazing. So what he did for an album once is he went to a studio they never used. He gave himself a 10-minute time limit to write each song. And he,
wow, well that's
almost impossible. And he said, he's like, they have a million albums. They all sound the same. They're all polished and perfect. And he said, that's not kind of in the spirit of punk rock. So he gave the band limited time to rehearse, and he just said, whatever the first take is without any major screw ups is what we're going to put on the album.
Wow.
And it's an interesting album to listen to. Oh, and they used gear that wasn't theirs. So they used someone else's amps, guitars, whatever. I mean, that's one way to kind of shake up the how well everything sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because...
It's not a great album, but it's different.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think possibly because of the pandemic context, I think I was expecting something a little more nutty, like with Synopsis for Latecomers and I Lost Thursday, I think are the two really like weird, different kind of things where I'm like, they haven't sounded like this before.
Right.
And so I think I was expecting that for the whole album, but like that's not the case, but that's not necessarily bad.
Yeah.
A few more little thoughts. We might have covered this, but did any lyric jump out at you on the whole album on first listen? We already talked about it, we ate the babies. Anything else?
I don't think anything stood out necessarily, at least on initial listens. I have to listen more. But I will say, again, Linnell seems more intense than usual.
Yeah.
Everything. Well, actually, no, because some of the Brontosaurus lyrics stuck out as being a failed artist or something.
I know.
I wonder why that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
just a lot of lyrics in general about being depressed and feeling like you don't know what the hell you're doing anymore. And, you know. Oh, in Brontosaurus, again, something about has this been going on too long?
Yeah, I heard that
I'm
too.
Like, is that about the band?
Well, it's
or?
Like, let's get this over with. It's like, yes, I Like Fun too, where he's just like, I know they like to say that it's not autobiographical.
And, you know, Drown the Clown.
Yeah, no, Drown the Clown is like, I mean, that's a funny way of showing how miserable you are. But yeah, a lot of these songs, I mean, I think two songs used the word like, ennui.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah. Ennui. And that's quite like a word to use multiple times on an album. And it captures things. Yeah. I noticed something weird, which is that like both track one and track two end with them doing like a la la la.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah.
I
what's
noticed
that,
that
about?
I really liked on Synopsis for the Latecomers. What is it? Doodly doodly do.
Yeah. Doodly doodly doodly. That's why I was like, this is going to be a fucking crazy album.
Yeah. And then in the second track too, more like Nananas or whatever.
Yeah, which
didn't work as well because he just did it in the first song.
Yeah, and I just say about Moonbeam Rays, like
this fucking song.
I haven't looked at the lyrics closely. I think there's probably some interesting ideas going on there.
Sure.
It sounds like, because Flansburgh talks about like, oh, we throw out this song, we throw out that song. Yeah. It's not ready yet. I've got to rewrite it. To me, this it really sounds like one of like where I'm like, oh, is it done? Is that a finished song? I don't know.
And that was an older one too, right? Didn't they mention that a while ago?
The title's been around for a while.
Yeah, and it was Moonbeam Ray.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Which I assumed it was going to be an escape team character or something.
A guy named Ray.
Yeah, I remember
That'd
thinking
be funny.
That. Yeah, it's weird.
About,
I don't know.
Ghostbusters.
Maybe it'll grow on me and I'll be like, oh, it is like the magic will hit me. But right now, it's like such a strange track.
Okay.
It's a strange track too, though.
Baby.
I can see it being like later song. Well, speaking of that,
it is a very strange track too.
What do you think of the album order in general? Like the whole thing.
Well, like I said, I think the last quarter or the last third of it is very, the sequencing is very good.
Yes.
The songs flow into each other really well.
Yeah, I love when that happens.
It's kind of like strong start, strong finish.
Mm-hmm.
Things in the middle get a little bit jumbled up. Yeah, I think Moonbeam Ray could have been later on, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think even something like I Broke My Own Rule could have been later on.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because it seems a little too intense away.
Yeah, Brontosaurus could have been...
That could have been moved up,
yeah, yeah.
That could have been number two.
Well, it's got three Linnell songs right at the start, which is kind of nuts, but they've done that kind of thing before.
I can't remember The Dream could have been a number two, honestly.
Yeah.
That could have been moved up more.
Yeah, it's a strange... I guess.
Or I Lost Thursday. Sorry to cut you off.
So that's what I thought was going to happen.
That's what we thought. Yeah.
Because, yeah, we mentioned this in our episode.
We're like, oh, that's a four, number four, number three.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the track order, I think like most albums, like it'll grow, the flow of it grows on you the more you listen. But I've definitely got a few other ideas. Like Lord Snowden and If Day, right one after the other, is that's like an assault officer. Two weird Flansburgh ones in a row is kind of... It's kind of a strange way to do it.
Well, here's a question.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a statement. Do you think you would like certain songs more if the order was changed? Because I think you're right.
Lord Snake.
And If Day, a little bit much next to back to back.
Well, so I wasn't that into If Day for a while because I was like, oh, another like weird, like what is, like, I think Lord Snowden, like, put a negative vibe in my head on the, I'm talking about like the first time listening to it on the drive. And then like when If Day came on, I was like, so this is what Flansburgh's doing on this album? Just like weird little sketches. Yeah. I think they should have been farther apart or something. Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
But the Flansburgh songs are also weird and kind of, they're not singles, I guess is what I mean. So it's, and I don't mean that in a bad way. A lot of most of my favorite songs are in singles on their albums. So it's like, what do you put as like a Flansburgh track two? Like there's not many options. So Moonbeam Rays is the most like single generic, but at the same time, it's not one of his stronger songs. It's kind of surprises me that it's so prominent up there.
Well,
I think I Lost Thursday should have been track two, honestly.
That could work.
Yeah. I really think it works. Is like, we're coming into this album, like, and really like,
keep the energy going.
And like a blast of, interesting sounds. Yeah. I also wanted to talk about Pamphlet.
I was going to say the other option would be,
yes,
in this hypothetical, is take some Pamphlet songs, throw them on there.
Let's talk about that.
I mean, Helicopter of Hell is number two. Hey, hey.
I think it could have been number two, or I could see that as being like an album closer kind of thing, because it's got a kind of end feel to it.
Yeah.
End times feel. Kind of reminded me of my own song I wrote about a helicopter chasing you, called The Copter. That's on my SoundCloud, folks. But anyway, it has a similar like tempo and
I
drive.
Believe you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
Part of you wants to believe me. So Pamphlet was released, I think like this week when we're recording this. It's four songs. One of them is a cover that they've put out before. I don't know if they put that out to just the fan club or not. I can't remember.
I don't either.
But
Buckle Down. Windsocky?
Yeah. So in any case, I've heard it before. So I was a little bit disappointed being like, oh, one of the four tracks is something I know already. And it's a cover.
And There Will Be Sad was also put out.
There Will Be Sad was put out as a live
song.
Which I,
Good studio version.
I like it a lot. Yeah. So
More depressing one out.
Exactly. So, well, for one thing, I love when like the B-sides match up with the album really well, where it's like feels like it's part of it. But sometimes it's matches up so well that I'm like, it should be on the album.
Mm-hmm.
There Will Be Sad totally could have been on the album, I think.
Sure.
Though I also think it's good for the B-sides to have a song like that where you're like, oh, well, it's like a hidden gem or whatever. Because mm-hmm. like, you don't want the B-sides to just be like super rejects because yeah. then
what is it? What's
yeah.
the point?
Yeah. Helicopter of Elves, it is growing on me. The first time it's I fun. Heard it, I actually had a kind of thing of like, oh, where's the hook? But now it's been in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like it's an interesting song. And I mean, I take the song to be all about the kind of crazy conspiracy paranoia crap everyone's been dealing mm-hmm. with for the past few years, ever since things blew up.
And I like the Buckle Down Winsocky.
Really?
Yeah, really. Well, it's like a couple songs in one, and they're all really weird and kind of yeah. catchy, and they come together in a cool way.
They definitely made this cover their own.
Oh, yeah.
But I also just, I'm like, oh, there's got to be more songs left off this album that aren't covers. I think they even mentioned yeah. in a recent Tumblr Q&A.
Be on the next album.
Yeah, that's true. And then we've got Fortnite.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Dave?
I like Fortnite. I think it would be a good transition song. It's short.
Yeah.
It could have been in between two singles.
Yeah, I mean, Fortnite, lyrically, it's a little light in my mind. I mean, it's like yeah. a funny kind of bit. It's like a little joke.
I don't like the word Fortnite.
Well, that's what the song's about.
Yeah, and I don't like that it makes me think of Fortnite. The game or
the
whatever.
Game. That's what Kristen was saying. She's yeah. like, is this about the game? I'm like, they highly
know.
Doubt it.
Yeah, but they got to know that. It's kind of, sort of like with spoiler alert. Like, I didn't like that song at first because I hate that term.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like too, I don't know, it's too modern or something for them to yeah. be using.
So we basically think that the pamphlet songs could have easily been woven into the album, yeah. I think. It's kind of a short album. I mean, I feel like it goes yeah. by fast.
It does.
Because I listened to it three times today.
How long is it? You got those facts up there?
Yeah, yeah. Let's
those figures?
With pamphlet, it's 49 minutes. So that's like going to, yeah. you know, it's going to be about 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Which is average, but I think, I don't know, I think you could have squeezed a few more. And you know what I did the other day when I was falling asleep, trying to fall asleep? I was seeing if I could remember every track on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't listened to it as many times as until today.
Mm-hmm.
So I remembered every one except Quit the Circus, which is weird. I was just like, do I know these songs yet? And
right.
like, and could I sing a phrase in my head? So we're going to close out this episode soon, but I wanted to tell you, Dave, and I have it secretly on my phone. I ranked every song.
Okay.
Because I think that's what gets people excited, right? Ranking things.
Yeah, BuzzFeed.
Here's my ranking. I'll do from...
I think I know what the last one is.
I'll do from worst to best. And I'll see if I surprise you and what you think. And this could also be a chance to talk about each song a little bit more. This ranking is fairly loose, and especially in the middle area, they're kind of all about tied, you know? And I didn't work too hard on this. I didn't think too hard.
And these are subject to change.
Yeah.
The more you listen.
And I did this like kind of fast as Dave was on his way over. So ranked on the bottom, yeah. let's say it with me, Moonbeam Rays.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite song. I think it's a little strange. I'll see if it grows on me. It's mm-hmm. something, crazier things have happened.
Sure.
Second least.
So number 14.
So yeah, number 14, Lord Snowden.
I disagree.
You think it deserves to be higher?
There's some really good lyrics in there, puts you in a place.
Really?
I forgot to mention.
Oh, sure.
So before I looked up what Lord Snowden actually was,
okay.
which I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't look up anything. It was kind of a relief to not look up stuff.
I very stupidly, or maybe not stupidly, I thought this was just a pun and a joke about
being snowed in.
Oh, God, that's brilliant, but no, I'm not even that smart.
Oh, my God.
No, I thought it was just combining Edward Snowden and Lord Snow from...
What's Lord Snow?
Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
That's a show I watched every episode of and never learned anyone's name.
I think it's one of those songs that'll grow on you more.
I'll say that it already has been,
yeah.
and I would say, I'll say about my ranking, besides yeah. Moonbeam Rays, I actually really like, I'm at this point where I really like everything. I think not to sound too much yeah. like a fan who just loves everything.
No, I figured.
Because only a few days ago, I was way more harsher in my mind about a lot of the album. But today I kind of clicked.
A lot of the lyrics in Lord Snowden grew on me more.
Yeah, see, they're all kind of elude me at the moment.
Especially now that I know more what it's about and it's not okay. about, you know, what I thought.
Is it about Edward Snowden?
No, it's not.
Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah.
That might be why I was like, oh, because I don't want them to do these topical lyrics that on that level. It doesn't excite me very much for that to
it's
happen.
It's not. And when I saw that, it made me like it more, actually.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you'll have the same experience.
Okay. Number 13.
Yeah.
If Day for Winnipeg. Sorry, Flans.
Wow.
Three Flansies at the bottom.
Yeah.
Again, I'm liking it way more lately. I especially like the production, the like
I love
scary
the verses,
noises,
yeah.
like whatever that is. It's like a cool sound.
Again, I think when you do a little digging in it, it might raise
it
the
ranking
a little
but
bit.
Again, I still like all these. The fact that they're bottom on of the list. Like if I were to do this with like Apollo 18, you know, like Hall of Heads might be down there, but I still love Hall of Heads. You know what I mean?
Last week, I would have put, you know, If Day at the bottom of there too, just for the chorus, because I just thought it was too
it seemed
rushed.
Like, yes, but it seemed like improvised.
Now I like it because it makes that song so unique to that particular phrasing. Give it a chance.
Yeah, well, the one thing I'll say about these lower ranked Flansburgh songs, they're not short of ideas.
Right.
I mean, they're super creative and interesting, and there's a lot to dig through. And when we do...
They're just not hitting you in the right way.
Yeah, when we do the full breakdown of these songs way in the future, when we're like old men... There's going to be a lot to talk about. The next one, again, sorry, Flansburgh, Darling the Dose. But I will say, even today, this started to really grow on me. Like, so it's basically Flansburgh doing like Randy Newman.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what jumped out at me. It's like, and what I wonder, and again, they might have said this in an interview. I didn't listen to any interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said a while ago that a lot of the, that some of the songs, as usual, is like a collaboration where they sent each other files. I wonder if Linnell sent him like this, these piano chords, because that's like, how does I guess Flansburgh could have written this on guitar, but it's so piano heavy with the sevenths and the major seventh chords and all those things that it's, maybe this was a collaboration. I don't know. So the next one, number, what is this? 12?
12?
Drown the Clown. And here's the thing.
I like that song.
I really like Drown the Clown, but it's so sing-songy that it's like...
It's too much.
I almost resent it. But I like it, and I like... It's definitely like that Linnell dark humor, and it's a strange, you know, strange way of saying that you're sad or whatever. But I do like it a lot. Again, we're in the place in the ranking where I like the songs a lot. But yeah, so Drown the Clown... Next is I Broke My Own Rule, kind of low, but I don't know. I think we talked about this on the show, but it kind of has the dun, 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 that kind of, if it didn't have that, it'd be higher.
Yeah, that song doesn't hit me in the same way. I think other people are really into it.
I like the instrumentation, the bow, 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 like it's got this kind of plucky guitar.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a toy piano under it or something.
Yeah,
too.
So I like the production and I like the lyrics and I like a lot about it, but it's not quite like a, like we said, a track three. It was like, whoa, that's high up for that song.
And I think I like the lyrics, but I think it's a little too much. It starts to drag me down a little bit with just how, you know, negative it is.
It's a really negative album. It's weird because, again, I was thinking of like Glean. I was thinking, it's like there's none of these kinds of super depressed, anxious songs as much. They're a little more fanciful.
Well, I guess I listen to a lot of negative music and I write negative music.
That's true.
So I kind of like turn to They Might Be Giants for a little bit different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's partly that, or maybe I was feeling too delicate.
Yeah, I
can't. And I didn't
want to
be
that.
Depressed.
Next
but
up,
I pretty much agree with you, except for those two Flansburghs that are, they're going to grow on you.
Number 9.
Number 9?
Or wait. Thanks. Maybe 8. Wait, hold on.
Number 8?
Number 9. Super Cool. A little low.
Whoa,
but it's kind of in the middle, though.
No, that should be way higher.
Okay, I'll say I love Super Cool. Again, the ranking...
What's better than Super Cool?
A handful of songs, maybe, but it might go up there. Well, now this is your
when you come around.
You've got the mic. Why do you like this song so much?
Because it's super cool.
It is. It's funny. It is super cool.
It sounds like a 60s,
like a 60s spy movie.
Yeah, like pop song. Like a, it's just a really, it's a great feel.
I love the harmonies. Cool.
Yeah.
I love the production.
Puts me in a good mood.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's a good driving song. Good walking around the street song. Yeah, maybe it should be higher.
It's just very catchy, very infectious.
My rankings change every day in my head. Because we've gotten emails of people being like, what do you rank this? And I'm just like, it's different every day, you know? Next up, at number 8, I can't remember the dream.
I think super cool is better.
You might be right. I might be leaning. No, I might be leaning on that. I think I can't remember the dream. I just like because there's just something so heavy about it. And I love dream stuff. That's kind of my like.
The lyrics are great.
Yeah.
And the sentiment is great.
Yeah.
And it's
all of my memories tend to be sad. Jesus. I mean, I feel that lately. Yeah. But
I mean, it's the lyrics are masterful.
Yes.
Like in describing that exact feeling.
Yes.
But I like super cool.
Yeah, when we were listening to this in the car, I remember Kristen was like, because she likes dream stuff too, and we're both like talking about dreams a lot. So she was like, "Oh, this is really like cool idea."
That is definitely a single. I'll say that. Like, I think that's kind of a built-in single.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, number.
So now we're getting into the upper.
I'm getting
classes.
So confused about. I should have put numbers on this. I'm such a dummy. Synopsis for latecomers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in the top. We're in the top tier now. I think it's not like musically like a super catchy or whatever, but it's a great track. One grabs your attention. I do think it's an outlier on the album in that it sounds like a weird. To me, this is like a classic TMBG song kind of thing.
It's a great opener though.
Yeah. And it's funny. Some of the lyrics, I don't want their lyrics to get too funny though, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the lyrics in Linnell songs, not Flansburgh. Flansburgh's pretty serious on this element.
Mm.
A lot of the Linnell songs, sometimes I'm like, just bring it back a tiny bit. Don't get too silly. You know, some of the ones on this, on Synopsis are a little silly. Oh, it hit me today when I was listening. It was just something like he's describing the state of the world, but it's like these surreal funny things, kind of like Mr. Horrible, like the weird surreal things Mr. Horrible will do. And I just remember thinking like, I wish there was a little bit more of a ambiguity to the nightmare. Cause in Someone Keeps Moving My Chair, it's like, you don't really even understand why the things are bad. Like, what if we like balance this glass of milk? You know what I mean? Like a lot of the stuff in Synopsis is like totally like out of, totally ridiculously bad and funny. You know, I don't know.
We like the babies, though.
I do like them.
I mean, that's the most ridiculous line in the song.
It is ridiculous. I know.
Yeah. It's true.
Next up, I Lost Thursday. Towards the top. I really think it's... Mm. Do you not like I Lost? You can be honest.
I don't like it as much as you, it seems.
I didn't used to like it. I didn't like it when it was a free, you know, single. And now, on the context of the album, I really think it opens things up a lot.
Well, I was going to say maybe I listened to it too much initially because it was the first one they put out, right? Mm-hmm. So it's been in my head for a while and maybe I'm just kind of over it. Maybe I'll get
it. It feels like one of the more really creative, it feels like an explosion of musical ideas. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a rock band, whereas most of the songs do. It sounds
maybe the lyrics don't hit me as much. It seems like a pretty obvious way to say like time is...
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Losing track of time, whatever.
I still like the sentiment, though, because I relate a lot.
That's very pandemic-y, you know.
Yeah, and it's Thursday today.
Shit.
I know, what makes you think? We're at the top five.
Top five.
Number five.
Songs off the new They Might Be Giants album, Book.
Number five.
Coming in at number five.
Part of You Wants to Believe Me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that song.
We haven't talked about it. Okay, so the reason it's so high up, I love the... Not the verses, the da-na-na-na, whatever the hell you call it, the chorus or the pre-chorus or whatever, like that's really interesting musically for Linnell. And a lot of the melodies of Linnell's on this album are a little like, oh, I know where he's going with that. But that's a moment where I'm like, oh, this is a cool, I really like that feel.
No,
that's
a very
part.
Good one. Yeah. I agree. That's in the upper tier.
And we've also got, it's like one of many Linnell gaslighting songs where he's fucking with someone's mind and being like, he's so evil. So I take pleasure in that. I think it's funny. I have a lot of songs like that too. I think it's like, it's just like my song Settle Down is kind of about that where you're sort of tricking someone into being on your side. I think that's a very funny thing. Not in real life. It's bad in real life, but in the safety of fiction and art,
there is
we
no
can
safety
explore
in
these, these dark feelings, people. That's what it's all about. So
no, everything is literal,
but what do you think of Part of You Wants to Believe Me?
I like it. It's very solid. I like that guitar line, very melodic, very Linnellian in the way the lyrics are structured, lyrics folding in on themselves. I think we're back to classic TMBG here.
That feels like a classic. I mean, almost sounds like, which describes how you're feeling.
Yeah.
It's got that melody that spins around. It's funny when we, you know, I haven't even really broken down the arrangements or the various guitar stuff or bass lines, you know, so I look forward to like really listening on headphones and thinking about that.
Coming in at number four.
Can you guess?
Well, yes, because process of elimination. Let me see. I'm gonna think it's put the songs up. Quit the Circus.
Nope.
You only get one guess.
Yes, Less Than One is my number four.
It's a very solid,
fantastic album closer.
Yeah, good closer.
Linnell's really been delivering on the intent. Like I said, a lot of his songs in this album are like smashing.
Yeah.
Kind of like cries for help and very, and even the lyrics to this one are kind of silly though. If you
about a burrito or something,
exactly.
Yeah, maybe that was like the last straw. The burrito fell apart.
Well, that's like, kind of what life is like.
Yeah,
I mean, how many I can think of so many times in my life where the stupidest little annoyance happens, and I'm just like, God, fuck, like you drop a piece of pizza or something, and you're just like, fuck.
I believe it's called a slice of pizza, but yeah, you keep it all together for like the big catastrophes, you know, and then someone cuts you off in traffic and you go nuts.
Yeah, but mainly I love the music of Less Than One. I love the title. It's kind of a sad, interesting, ambiguous title, Less Than One. It's kind of like almost out of the ordinary for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it's just got a great like pounding intensity to it. And I like the backup vocal too, the woo-woo.
Oh yeah, that's fun. Yeah.
That's an interesting part. Number three.
Coming in at number three.
And we haven't talked about this one yet. Wait, actually, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that either.
What do you think of that one, Dave?
That one reminded me.
This is my number fucking three.
You liked it a lot then, huh?
I really like it a lot.
That kind of reminded me of Reprehensible a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Mixed in with I Like Fun. Like the song I Like Fun. Because a trumpet or
this
something?
This is one of the only Linnell kind of genre excursions rather than just a smashy rock song.
It's I think that song is really sad. It's kind of like half remembering everything or trying to have a statement or an opinion and then backing out of
like,
it.
Never mind.
Not thinking you're kind of worthy to talk.
Yeah. I feel like I can write a book on what the song is saying.
Very good lyrics.
I look forward to talking about it in detail, but just as like a first impression, this song to me just sounds like it's like another Brontosaurus type like artist song where you're just like, I've got this great idea. Oh, never mind. But
what's the point?
But then that's a metaphor for life or for the pandemic where you're just like, we're going to do all this great stuff, and no, we're not, because life is too hard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sadness, and I love, and it's got, I think, Wait, Actually, Yeah, No, is like a perfect blend of humor and sad. Like, that's one of, I think, the most successful on this album, where it's like funny and sad at the same time. And I find it like a heartbreaking song, and the music helps that, because it's just so resigned, right? It's just, the music's what's weird, and maybe I'll repeat this when we break down the song, is one idea I had was that he's talking about rejected songs that never went anywhere.
Hmm.
And so there's two lyrics in a row that sound like two specific ones, because he says,
tell me more.
Like, you know, 20 car pile up on the highway. That reminds me of No Answer, which has a verse of kind of about a big highway accident.
And
then the one after, he says, somebody you don't know, a stranger staring at you, which reminds me of What Is Everyone Staring At, which is another rejected song, which was turned into a different song, but you know what I mean. So it's like, is this song kind of,
if true,
is he using like the rejected ideas that never went anywhere as a metaphor for just giving up in life in general? You know what I mean? There's just something really sad and relatable about the artistic, because we both have lots of, we've got folders of ideas that never went anywhere. And that's
binders of women. What was that thing that was that Mitt Romney?
That's right. Wow. Welcome to 2021, Dave.
Deep cut from Politic Dave.
Number two.
So that's Quit the Circus.
Number two is Brontosaurus.
Holy shit. Wow.
I know. That's why I was...
you really like Quit the Circus.
I was reserving. Well, let's talk about Brontosaurus first. We already did a lot, I guess. I just... this jump...
you really threw me a curveball.
I was excited to, yeah. I threw myself a curveball when I typed this up. Brontosaurus, though...
can you do that?
Brontosaurus is just like as solid and interesting and exciting as a Linnell rocker as you can get. The lyrics are funny and sad and full of metaphor and wordplay. It's full of autobiographical sadness and frustration. It's relatable. I find it relatable.
Yeah.
musically, it's really the background vocals, the way everything repeats what he's saying. And it and not just repeats, it really takes the time to let the background vocals like have their own section of the song, which is very interesting. I just think Brontosaurus is like an extremely successful song. I only think the vocals sound weirdly auto-tuned, and that bothers me. That almost might be why it's not number one, to be honest. Yes.
Hmm. Not crazy about the title still, but you actually convinced me like that it's very apt. It just seems like it would have been on a kid's album.
Because you feel like you've gone extinct, you know, it's like I'm irrelevant now, and that's sad. That's fucking sad.
It's like I'm a paleontologist or something, but...
I mean, I feel like there's no way they're not aware of that, you know?
That they already went to that well.
But I think they're leaning... I almost think that's part of the sadness of it is... It's something that sounds like it's going to be a cute science song.
Right.
Instead, it's super upsetting. And my number one...
Well, you convinced me.
As you've guessed, Quit the Circus.
Coming in at number one.
Yeah.
This is Jordan Cooper's top five songs from the new album, Book, by They Might Be Giants. Number one, go. Quit the Circus.
Yeah, I was actually... I thought I would shock
you.
I'm surprised you similarly really like this song.
Were you surprised I like good music, you douche?
Well, because it's like, you know, you're a punk guy. I figured Dave's going to pick the rock songs to be his favorites.
I surprised myself.
Yeah, well, so Quit the Circus, when we were driving home from our little trip, and this came on, me and Kristen were both like, this one's really good. Like, it just like, it hit us in the feels, as the kids say.
They do say that.
It kind of reminds me of like Dirt Bike, like where it's like this uncanny, melancholy feel. I don't know. It's just, it's interesting that I like when they do that, because a lot of They Might Be Giants songs do not, they sound more fun and happy and have sad lyrics. But I really like when they have the traditional sad lyrics, sad music. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's a timeless formula, but it works. What do you like so much about Quit the... I think I like didn't let you expound too much on it because I wanted to talk about it later.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you said it better than I could have. It's just a very melancholy, atmospheric, puts you in a certain state of mind. Kind of similar. I mean, that's why I like the last third or so of the album.
Yeah.
It's perfect right after Wait, actually, yeah, no.
I know.
Because it's like Flansburgh saying the same thing almost.
What's crazy is how in sync they always are. I mean, they're on almost every album.
Like us. Same cycles.
They're really in the same headspace.
Yeah.
And those two songs, I mean, I do think this album is, for the most part, really well sequenced because they saw what we're seeing right now. It's like, oh, those two songs, like we're really winding this down into this, like, let's just fucking give up, you know, kind of like sad, you know, sort of feeling.
Which I think that's what the world's feeling, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And then I didn't throw the pamphlet songs in there, but I'd say that pamphlet songs...
Helicopter of Elves.
Helicopter of Elves would be somewhere in the middle. I really enjoy it. It's interesting. I think it's more interesting than some of his other songs on the album. And There Will Be Sad is like, I mean...
That's a single.
It's a solid,
I think I just said that sad before.
Linnell song. Yeah, yeah. I'd put that maybe in... Maybe not top five, but between 5 and 10 or something. And then... Fortnite, I probably put kind of low.
Yeah,
it's a little bit lower. Of a toss off, but that's fine. I like when bands toss things off because it's why not? You know what I mean?
I think it's a good linking song. I wouldn't say it's a standout single.
I can almost see Fortnite as a little epilogue final track the way they do.
Yeah.
It kind of works. It sort of is already because it's the last track of all the B-sides. Yeah. And
Buckle Down Winsaki.
That way I would just not put on the
album.
Not
even a
to
ranking.
Be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I like that song a lot. It's
very successful production. But I'm just like, okay, it's a cover. I don't know.
You know the cover doesn't sound like that.
They Might Be Giants they're having like a renaissance of interesting lyrics and sad, you know, not that they're a few albums ago, the lyrics aren't good, but I find these way more compelling than usual. I mean, this and I Like Fun. I feel like they're super relatable and compelling. Yeah. So I like when it's a cover, I'm a little more tuned out, you know, but so
fair enough. Yeah, I think we did it.
So look, that was our big book celebration, listening party. Listen to the album. Look, go through the book with us, everyone. If you haven't, you should. This is, if anything, should be bought physically.
it's the book.
It would be this. It's a really interesting book. It doesn't hit you over the head with any themes. It's just kind of an atmosphere.
It's a good coffee table book.
It's a coffee table book. Before we say goodbye, I just wanted to have...
Do it, Jordan.
I wanted to do one of my favorite segments of the show, About Me.
About Me!
I just wanted to quickly plug, I put out an instrumental EP last week on my Bandcamp, but it's also on Spotify and iTunes and YouTube and all Ooh. That stuff. It's by my band Troubles Afoot, which features Dave here
hey.
On bass.
For some.
For 3 out of 5 tracks, Dave plays bass.
Hey, that's 60%.
It's because
not bad. Not passing though.
The 2 other songs, there was like a one note bass line. I'm like, I'm not gonna just make Dave do that.
you could do it.
It's called Lump in My Throat, which has a lot of different meaning to me. I'm not gonna over explain. It turned into something a lot more meaningful than it was intended, but it kind of turned into a strange sequence where the EP slowly gets sadder and sadder.
Yeah.
Which wasn't intended, but
like book.
Kind of. So that just sort of happened, and it really matched up. But I started working on it before a bunch of sad, shitty stuff happened in my life, and I finished it after all that, and it started to become almost hard to work on because I was like, this is making me sad. But I'll just play a little clip from... every song is so different. I'll do two quick clips. This is track 1, which is Pumpkin Pirate, and it's a crazy accordion instrumental, which I'll say right off the bat is totally inspired by one of the tracks on Linnell's House of Mayors EP.
Mm-hmm.
He has this really crazy accordion instrumental, and I think I was trying to write a similar thing.
Sure.
So this is Pumpkin Pirate, and it features Dave on bass.
Let's listen.
This other clip is from a song called Miss Her He, which is kind of like a loop. And I've always thought of this as like super melancholy and sad, and has a lot of, all these tracks have cool sonic things. And I used almost no MIDI or fake anything. Almost everything you're hearing is real. So Miss Her He has me blowing bubbles into a cup, which you might hear. And it goes from one ear to the other. And I make these things to be super exciting on headphones. So here's a clip of Miss Her He. You can listen to it for free on Spotify and iTunes and stuff. But if you go to my Bandcamp, which is troublesafoot.bandcamp.com, it comes with 15 bonus tracks.
Whoa.
And it's only $3.
Buy it, people.
15 bonus tracks, including the demos of those songs, plus 11.
Count them.
11 other favorite instrumentals over the years. I hope people check it out. I think it's a lot of fun. I know this is obvious, but if you like They Might Be Giants, I don't know why you wouldn't enjoy it. It's just fun, short instrumental songs. And this is but a preview of the new album that I almost have finished, my full rock album I made with Dave on bass and my other band members. That's coming out very soon.
All right.
This was kind of meant to remind people that Troubles Afoot, my band, exists. And yeah, hopefully you enjoy it.
Go buy that album, people.
Buy it.
Sounds great. I heard it myself.
Yeah, I worked really hard on the making it sound like a band, like a real band, because there's no MIDI, so it's my drummer on drums. I didn't want it to be, it's instrumentals, just do it on, make it a nerdy MIDI thing at home.
I want
it to be like, no, it's a band playing instrumentals together. Yeah.
I listened to it more than once.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's only 9 minutes long. Yeah,
which is the most I can offer any you.
It features auto harp, banjolin, mandolin.
Sanjolin.
Sanjolin.
Harpa manjo.
So thank you. So listen.
All right.
We are going to be back soon with another episode.
All righty.
And did you like this one? Please email us your thoughts on book. What do you think about book? Don't go too in detail because we are going to do a full breakdown one day, but I want to know what people think. We'll talk about it on the Twitter, Twitter at Don't Let's Pod. Yep. And our email is don'tletstartpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can go to anchor.fm/don'tletstart. And there's a little support button with various options. That would be great. And we're
be lovely.
There's going to be lots of fun episodes coming up.
Yep.
We're going to tackle John Henry. We're going to tackle each other. That's going to be a YouTube video, I think, live pay-per-view event.
Just us beating the shit out of each other.
I have a lot more ideas for kind of more casual, fun episodes, and it's going to be great. And Dave, you seem mad at me. What's up?
You know, you could be more help, but you don't help a lot.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. It's supernatural, how space that we can be. It's supernatural, how space that we can be. It's supernatural 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 how